2461.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Final hour. It's taken much less than 2 hours, but the final hour of the Paracast with UFO historian Jerome Clark. We have our co-host Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And now it's time to open up the questions from our members of the Paracast forums. Chris?
Well, one that I think we've already kind of covered it, but it's an interesting languaging in the question, and I'll just read it verbatim. What about going toward Richard Shaver by way of Ray Palmer, keeping underground with Mac Tonays and John Keel with Ultra and Crypto Terrestrials, and jumping back to the top of the world with these Google photos Mr. O'Brien just posted here at Antarctica, from Antarctica? Tie that with the other mysterious caves and Cremo's forbidden archaeology, and you'll soon need a second episode with Mr. Clark. Just to bring you up to speed on the photographs that he's referring to, I was made aware of these very intriguing photographs of quite large, seemingly unusual-looking cave entrances down in Antarctica. There's two of them, one on either side of a ridgeline. They're about 60 meters high and probably twice that in width. Basically, I think where our questioner is going with this, though, is what is your idea of crypto-terrestrials, for instance, as Mac Tonays dubbed them, or John Keel's idea of the ultra-terrestrials, some sort of species of possibly quasi-humans that have been here for thousands of years that are hidden out of sight, possibly underground, suboceanic. Do you have any sense that there could be something to this line of thinking?
Well, crypto-terrestrials and ultra-terrestrials are not the same thing at all. The ultra-terrestrials are Keel's name for demonic entities. Keel is essentially a demonologist, and that was his name for demons, which he thought were behind UFOs and a whole range of weird phenomena. Crypto-terrestrials are an idea that there's a kind of goes back to lost continent lore, which I actually discuss in my new book, which is titled Hidden Realms. It's an old idea. It's just a new name for it, that there was a secret race that lived on the Earth and somehow escaped documentation or observation or the massive evidence of an advanced technology which would have had to leave. Now, I don't believe it. It's true, but I do think that it is the latest manifestation of a whole lot of kind of lost civilization lore.
And so there's not a hidden sun inside the planet. There's not holes at the poles.
Or a race sort of living thing inside the middle of the Earth or anything like that.
Right.
But you know, these are long-standing kind of, modern mythologies that are interesting in themselves.
Yeah, so it's a good intellectual exercise to come up with ways to try to discount all that. It's not that difficult.
My most recent book is on that subject, so anyone who wants to know my thoughts can look up the book on Amazon or go in their local bookstore or whatever. And
Ladies and gentlemen, we also put a link to the book on theparacast.com. So if you click on that link and buy a copy, which, of course, enriches Jerry Clark, and we want him to be very rich and famous, it also enriches us by a few cents.
Okay, here's another one for you. What are your thoughts on the binary code from one of the witnesses from the Bentwaters case, which is currently starting to make some waves out there in the field?
I don't really know enough about to have an opinion. It's one thing that you learn if you live long enough is not to shoot your mouth off when you don't know what you're talking about. So I'm afraid I'll have to pass on that question.
Yeah. I constantly find myself with a taste of my shoe in my mouth sometimes. So I should take your advice a little bit more on that.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a good one. This one we have not been asked. I think none of our guests actually have been asked this. But what are your thoughts on the current crop of ufologists that are coming up?
Actually, I'm rather encouraged. If you expand that to Fortians or anomalous, I think there's some very sharp young guys coming up who I really like Theo Paymans from Holland is to me just like he's going to be one of the great anomalous of the next generation. Chris Aubeck, there are a bunch of them. Chris Aubeck is an English guy who's lived in Madrid for many years. He co-authored Vallée's most recent book. He did the research for the book into ancient anomalies from 1879 back to into the BCE era. And there are some very sharp, smart young guys coming up. And I feel really good about that. I didn't a few years ago. But as I've encountered some of these young guys who are intellectually very sharp and really working hard to expand the database and analyze it intelligently, I feel fairly good about the future.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed, Jerry, is that your average age at a UFO convention now is up around 70.
And
those are the youngers.
And those are the younger ones. They can actually get up and around without a walker. But how do we, as the older generation, and I count myself among you guys, even though I'm only just, I'm 50-ish. How do
You're
we?
You're just a baby. That's all.
I'm just a baby in this field. Yeah. But what are the best ways you think to instill some excitement, instill some wonder and awe in the younger generation, to get them to be less jaded and cynical about the subject and accept the pop cultural versions that are being force fed them, and get them to actually become more involved in nuts and bolts UFO research? What do you have any suggestions on how we can do that? Besides writing books and trying to inspire people that way, is there any other way that we can get people more involved from the younger generation?
Well, I think that my answer is a broad one, but I'm quite serious about it, and that is that if young people continue to read books and continue to be intellectually curious, as our generation was, or at least some of us in that generation were, and they'll get to us. Books still influence people, particularly young, impressionable minds. And reading a single book can be a life-changing experience, as it was for me, and it may have been for you guys.
Yeah, it was for me.
Yeah, you read Ruppelt or Fort or somebody like that, or Jacques Vallée or Alan Hynek, and you think, this is really interesting. And I think that's, I think that the model, when Gene and I were young, as I mentioned earlier in this discussion, there were all these teenage UFO groups. They don't exist. And nobody even remembers that they exist except those of us who were there, or David Halperin will talk about in his new novel, which comes out next month. And so the model changes. I think like the model of the organizations like the Mutual UFO Network or MUFON or even CUFOS, which is a different kind of organization from MUFON, but still in the old model of the UFO organization, that probably is disappearing. The Internet is taking over a lot of things, and the discussion will continue on the Internet. But print, old-fashioned print books will still come out, and people who want to read them will read them.
And of course, if they want to read them on their iPads or in their Amazon Kindle, they'll read them, but it's still the book, and it's still the same basic content.
I'm betraying my age. I just love the old-fashioned book. In fact, three of them arrived in my mail today. I just love the physical feel of a book. The big love affair of my life, aside from, my wife and my children and so on, and my friends, has been books. I love books. I love the feel of books. And it was books that got me here. And it will be books or their equivalent that get young people to where we are, or their equivalent to where we are.
As someone who covers personal technology, I kind of think that maybe one way this will be dealt with is where they will add an odor that emanates from your e-book reader. So your Kindle, your iPad, or your Samsung Galaxy Tab will present the odor of paper. And
I love that idea.
That's a great idea.
I just invented this thing. If anyone wants to take advantage of this, I have very liberal terms. I will give you my concept. You develop the smell-o-vision. I tried smell-o-vision. It never worked.
Yeah, John Waters. Yeah, I remember that. Scratch and sniff.
We're not going to sniff now. They still do that, by the way, in the women's magazines for perfumes and stuff. We have Jerome Clark, UFO historian. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free WhoisGuard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Jerome Clark is our guest. He's a UFO historian of long standing. He's been there forever since they wrote the very first song. No, he's written songs, but not about UFOs, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. Chris, any more questions from the Peanut Gallery?
Well, unfortunately, we only had the question thread up. We started it yesterday, so no, we don't. I'm sure if it had been up another couple of days, there'd be about 10 or 12 of them on there. But
and now he has more because he's going to have to come back to the PowerCast.
Absolutely.
And answer all the questions raised by what he says. And let's look at also one of the suggestions that Leslie Kane makes in her UFO book, and that is that there be some kind of, I guess, government, quasi-government organization that is formed to investigate UFOs. What do we do to get science to get involved in this, not just a few scientists, but enough people to really try to figure out what's going on?
Well, something transparent and public, I think, is kind of the caveat on that.
I'll drink to that.
My experience is that if you write a book or an article or a review that is intellectually sound, at least it doesn't sound crazy, that it respects reason and evidence, and it's written logically and coherently, that people who respond to that, many of them scientists or other academics, you'll get a favorable response. Over my career, I have had all kinds of dealings with academics and scientists and so on, most of whom are not known as active participants in the controversy, but do have a private curiosity. And they will read reasonable literature that does not insult their intelligence, that does not address crazy ideas or anything like that. I sort of remember one time, many years ago, this must have been in the early 1980s, I went to see Roy Mackel at the University of Chicago. And Mackel, to those who don't know him, is probably the most important cryptozoologist with an academic affiliation of his time. And he was a co-founder of the sadly now gone International Society of Cryptozoology. But Roy was a fascinating guy with wide-ranging interests in about three brains. He's still alive. I haven't heard from him in a while, but he's a very, very smart guy and very nice guy, too. A lot of fun to be around. Anyway, I was visiting him at his office, and Roy had written a book or two, a couple of books on cryptozoology. And he was looking at his mail when I was there, and he opened up this airmail letter from France. And it was from a fellow scientist. And the scientist said something like, "Oh, I wish I could do what you do. I really admire your work. It sounds fascinating. I'm intrigued by these reports of these strange animals that you've investigated and so on." And this guy had spent his entire career as a biologist dealing with some arcane issue involving flatworms. And to him, Roy Mackel was the ideal of the adventurous scientist investigating interesting questions, opening up new avenues of knowledge. And there are a lot of scientists out there who really envy those who dare go forth and wish they could do it, but don't, because they know it would endanger their careers and their jobs and open them up to, attack and ridicule. And, there are a lot of scientists out there who are privately curious. And one day, because you can't put aside reality or truth forever, one day a future generation of scientists will take up the UFO phenomenon. It's inevitable. It won't be in our lifetimes. It won't be in the lifetimes of most living scientists, but it'll happen. I suspect it'll happen sometime in the middle to the later 21st century. But it'll happen.
Of course, the other question being, Jerry, that if E.T. is here, wouldn't E.T. at one point decide, yes, we need to land now and make our presence known, if they haven't done so already?
That could always happen.
Just don't try it on the White House lawn. They got guys with stingers on the roof.
I think that I am making the presumption that what we have seen in the last 60 years will go on, and it will be up to us to do something about it, or at least our descendants.
Or how do you do anything about it? That's the other question.
Right.
I mean, do you try to communicate with them?
You do science. I believe that if science had been done to UFOs over the last 60 years, we'd probably know what at least the core UFO phenomenon is. I think that all that's really probably lacking is the will to do science, to do the funding, to have the laboratories and the personnel and the expertise available. I think the core UFO phenomenon is not inherently inexplicable. I believe that it's eminently solvable, but it's complicated, and because it's complicated, it's going to be expensive. But there is this barrier of rejection and ridicule that has stopped science in its tracks. Brad Sparks estimates that in the entire history of the UFO controversy, a total of 6 months of actual science has been done.
Yeah, that's scary. Of course, we don't know to what extent the government has been conducting scientific work on the inside, out of the public eye.
Well, science is conducted secretly is useless. I mean, it doesn't get us anywhere. And its purpose has to be extremely limited or provincial. I mean, science, it has to be an open enterprise.
One would hope.
Now, of course, the other question here, and we'll maybe pursue this in this segment and a little bit more, the one question very briefly mentioned, but now maybe it's time to explore it further. UFO abductions, is that really ET? Are these people imagining this? Is the government doing some kind of deceptive work causing these things to happen?
My labs.
None of the above. I think the abduction phenomenon is an experience anomaly, and that it's, you know, only superficially related to the UFO phenomenon of the CE2, that this is a continuation of abductions into supernatural realms, you know, fairyland or heaven or hell or wherever.
Incubi and succubi.
Yeah, that come out of a long, long human tradition of other world journeys. I think that abductions, you know, they're unquestionably a genuine anomaly. I mean, they're not purely imaginary. They're very puzzling, and we don't have an explanation for them. But they don't seem to be events. They're vivid, frightening experiences, but they're not events. They're taking place in that kind of liminal zone between, you know, the individual awareness and the cultural imagination.
So therefore, if ET lands tomorrow, whatever they look like, and we somehow communicate with them and we say, why are you abducting our population? You feel they'll say, we're not doing that. That has nothing to do with us.
It's entirely possible.
You know, it's possible. It's possible to tell you that we have Jerome Clark, and he's joining us on the Paracast. We're happy to have him for the whole show, not as a eulogy for someone long past. He's author of a number of books, including the Encyclopedia of UFOs and Hidden Realms, Lost Civilizations, and Beings from Other Worlds, his most recent book. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hello, at OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Clifford Cliff, International Director for the Mutual UFO Network. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue with Jerome Clark, UFO historian. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And, okay, so therefore we shouldn't be worrying so much about all the arguments is, or maybe we should worry about using hypnotic regression to recall supposed lost memories, whether it has anything to do with UFOs or is something else entirely. Is that something that is something that could be used in research?
Well, Eddie Buller did a study back in the 1980s, which has been widely overlooked, but he mentions it in his new book, The Myth and Mystery of UFOs, which just came out a couple months ago. But hypnotic regression, of course, obviously that can be abused, but that doesn't seem to be what's generating UFO abduction reports. Eddie had the brilliant idea to compare abduction narratives that were recalled under hypnosis versus those that were recalled consciously, and he found out that there's no significant difference. And he also addressed another question I sometimes hear from skeptics of abduction phenomena, who claim that while the hypnotist is feeding the people leading questions, so that they get, that's why these stories sound so much alike, because the hypnotist comes with expectations and draws those same expectations out of the hypnotized person's account. Well, it turns out that it doesn't even matter who the hypnotist is. Stories still end up pretty much the same. All that this tells us is that there is an abduction experience that exists outside hypnosis, and that hypnosis is probably just incidental. It's just a way of drawing it out, but that it's already there. But it doesn't mean that it involves interaction with extraterrestrials. They're just like all experience anomalies. Abduction stories are interestingly consistent, and there are some inconsistencies also. But they're just hard to explain. They're hard to explain as extraterrestrial phenomena, or they're hard to explain as you know, purely imaginary phenomena. They exist somewhere in that, as I say, in that kind of threshold liminal zone of experience anomalies. All kinds of other high strangest phenomena which have no UFO connection whatsoever.
So we're not dealing with ET gathering genetic material to hybridize a dying race and the types of scenarios that have, you know, kind of been formulated over the years based on these testimonies.
No, I think you're referring to Dave Jacobs's theories, and Dave is a very good friend for whom I have great affection. But I don't agree that these are happening on an event level, and I don't believe that an alien invasion is imminent.
That's good news.
No, Dave does. If you've read his books, he does
believe
that an alien invasion is imminent, and I find that his material is very interesting, sometimes disturbing, but not, you know, compellingly evidence of real events.
Now, what about events like the Men in Black? Is that something that relates to the realm of unusual personal experience, or are private people, the government, all of the above involved?
Well, I guess I would say all of the above, or at least some of the above. I think that the core Men in Black phenomenon is, as any number of commentators on Men in Black stories have remarked, and quite correctly, the original Man in Black was the devil. And the Man in Black exists. I mean, you can hear references to the Man in Black in old, you know, blues songs. I mean, this is an image been around for a long time.
Also Johnny Cash.
Yeah, although Johnny Cash imagined the Man in Black as a virtuous figure.
Virtuous storyteller who told us about life and its trials and tribulations and joys.
But for example, in the folklore of the African American South, reflecting a worldwide tradition, but you hear this, for example, in like Robert Johnson's famous song, Crossroads Blues, where you meet the devil, who is a man in black, at a crossroads at midnight, and that you get magical powers from him, but of course at a great price. And I think that somehow this idea of the Man in Black, which first shows up in a UFO-like context in about 1905 in Wales, and you get this kind of image that gets transplanted in experience anomaly, and they're always showing up in some kind of menacing context, possessing secret knowledge, which you can get, but only at great price and peril. And I think that's where the Men in Black comes from. They also figure hoaxes, just plain old-fashioned hoaxes, also help perpetrate this lore, like the Man in Black in the Maury Island hoax of 1947, which is the first great UFO hoax. You get them and, you know, whatever Gray Parker did with Al Bender's experience in 1953. And, you know, it's just a lore that has, and then you probably actually have people who the FBI called on for one reason or another, or somebody from a military intelligence agency where you wear civilian clothing. I'm sure some of those things have happened, and they've contributed to the lore. But no, I don't think I don't think Men in Black are really central to the UFO question.
What about the government getting involved in spreading disinformation? Is there such a thing? Do they care?
I think that it's entirely possible. For example, in the 1980s, where you get a lot of these crazy stories circulating about government in contact with aliens or crash saucers, and you get people in uniform telling these stories. And you wonder if there wasn't some kind of, you know, low-level Psy War experiment going on. I don't think that this is anything hashed at a very high level, but it could have come out of, you know, low-level elements of the Air Force Office of Special Investigations. And I think that's entirely possible.
Like a radio,
like the Benowitz.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might see it in things like that, yeah.
Would you see it also in the MJ-12 documents?
Possibly. Possibly. You would find it in something like that, but on the other hand, it may just be some idiot, you know, preying on gullible ufologists. I don't know. I mean, I have no doubt that the MJ-12 documents are bogus, and that's really the extent that I care about them. Where they come from is just detail. It's something I'd like to know, but it's not an important issue.
Does that kind of denigrate the credibility of a person like Stanton Friedman, who adopts the MJ-12 documents and Roswell as things that we should be concerned about?
I think he's chewing on that one, Gene.
It's a chewable question. I understand that.
Yeah, I'll just say that I don't agree with Stan's emphasis on these things.
Okay.
I'll let it go at that.
That's fair enough. We understand we all have levels of things that we accept and don't accept. Now, any popular sightings that we're aware of that ended up being hoaxes, even though maybe initially they were thought to be something that was genuine?
Well, you know, sometimes hoaxes come to light. I remember, you know, the famous story from 1897 about the aliens who took the calf out of the pasture at Leroy, Kansas. And that story seemed credible. It was widely published in the UFO literature in the 1960s. But miraculously, I found a woman who's had a relative, I think, I can't remember if it was her aunt or her grandmother off the top of my head, who had been there the day the hoaxer walked into the house and told his wife about the story he and his pals in town had cooked up. So, you know, I mean, there are hoaxes out there, and every once in a great while, a story that had seemed credible turns out to be a hoax. But, you know, even the Air Force acknowledged long ago that hoaxes weren't really a big part of UFO reporting. But you always have to be, you know, on the lookout for one, because you never know.
We didn't have, of course, lots of people like Ray Barker and Jim Moseley running around with their Lost Creek UFO and models of flying saucers and strings and stuff like that.
Well, I think that actually there are much better hoaxes than those.
We know that. Now. That was a rather transparent one.
With Photoshop.
Nowadays, yes. I'll tell you, we'll get into more of that in a moment. We have Jerry Clark. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt.
Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you're serious about playing college football, give yourself the competitive edge with the National Underclassmen Football Combine. The NUC is the longest-running underclassmen event and the most respected combine and football camp in the nation. Specifically designed to give athletes early recruiting exposure, there's no better time than now to compete in the National Underclassmen Football Combine. Call 888-NUC-MVP1 or go to nationalunderclassmen.com to find out more.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Yes, neighbors, we do want to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment about the Paracast, send it on to us, news@theparacast.com. One more time, that's news@theparacast.com. We read every letter we get. We've come down to this one more segment with Jerome Clark, UFO historian. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. You're in the Paracast. So we were looking, of course, about UFO hoaxes. Of course, then we have the Billy Meyer photos, which are pretty transparent, too, although a few people believe them.
Well, there are some really sophisticated hoaxes, you know, hoaxes that people really spend a lot of time and thought on. And sometimes, you know, you come upon something and you can't prove it is a hoax, but your instinct tells you that it is, even if you can't prove it. And I find after, you know, years of experience with this that, you know, it doesn't hurt to listen to your instincts. You know, they're not coming out of nowhere. And so I think that, you know, I think one of the most successful hoaxes in UFO history is the MJ-12 papers. You know, most people don't believe it anymore. But for a while, they did get a lot of, you know, people who are ordinarily sensible, including me, you know, going and puzzled and thinking, wow, what is this? And then as we came to know more about the background and the personalities involved and also the contradictions, the inability to force fit the claims of MJ-12 papers with anything that could be documented historically, well, then we came to understand that this was a hoax. But as hoaxes go, it's a pretty good one. And any accounting of UFO hoaxes, MJ-12 papers have to figure prominently. And as you pointed out, you know, you still have at least one prominent ufologist, Dan Friedman, going around, you know, arguing vehemently and relentlessly for the authenticity of these papers. So as a hoax, it was a successful one.
Isn't it also difficult for somebody who maybe stakes a part of their reputation on something that turns out not to be true to backtrack, to say, you know what, I was fooled by this, let's get on with our lives?
I think some people do indeed have a problem like that. I don't doubt that Stan is entirely sincere, but I've told him he was kind enough to send me the two editions of his book on MJ-12. And when he sent them to me, I thought, I'm going to sit down and read these books as if I had no opinion about this. I did everything possible to wipe the slate clean and read it with an open mind. And it still wasn't convincing to me. And in fact, I was puzzled why Stan thought this was convincing. In history, which I'm greatly interested in, there are all kinds of questions about contested documents. And so I'm familiar with a lot of controversies about how questions concerning contested documents about historical events are settled. And the evidence that Stan was able to bring forth for the MJ-12 papers struck me as something that a serious historian would have just dismissed out of hand. It wouldn't have even risen to the level of controversy.
Ouch.
But it's, Stan has his views, and he's not going to change his mind.
We never even
really
talked about
what the rest of us say.
We didn't even talk about the MJ-12 documents with Stan when he was on here last week. But I guess we kind of will save that for another show, Gene.
Well, I think I touched on it in passing, but I felt, if we're going to have that kind of discussion, we should have two people in the room virtually arguing for and against it. It could be a Jerry Clark. It could be a Kevin Randall. Someone
it should
arguing.
Be a Kevin Randall. Kevin is really immersed in that stuff. He knows far more than I do.
Well, definitely then we'll consider that with Kevin Randall. Someone who would argue on the side of it being a hoax, and then we see where the chips fall.
I think they'd be flying around a little bit.
Yeah, but I think, it would be interesting to listen to, but, the fight has been fought in print, and those who followed the dispute in print would pretty much know, they both have their distinctive rhetorical styles, particularly Stan. And I don't know. Stan is a very bright guy. He's done a lot of good things, and I respect him. But I just wish that he would, be more willing to acknowledge, as all of us have to as mature adults, that we can indeed be mistaken, even about things we feel strongly about. And I've certainly been wrong many times in my life in ufology and elsewhere. And we just have to finally say, as you said, when you said earlier, that, just say, okay, I was mistaken. Let's move on now.
Well, I had to do that with the San Luis Valley Crystal Skull hoax that I ended up debunking. And actually, gleefully so. I think we need more people out there debunking themselves and being super hypercritical about their work and their thinking. I think it's very important.
I think there's some special satisfaction in being able to debunk something that you yourself originally advocated.
Right, before somebody else does.
I mean, it speaks well to your intellectual integrity. And if we don't have intellectual integrity in this, what do we have?
Yeah, that's a very major point right there.
It's also a very heavy part of it also to be able to say, I made a mistake, let's move on, let's figure out what's really going on. And
I
think
here's what I learned
also
from that
is
mistake.
If someone wants to debunk UFOs, they will take these hoaxes and say, you see, it's a hoax, therefore there's nothing to any of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's a baby in the bathwater scenario, which unfortunately is too prevalent out there in the skeptical community.
Isn't it unfortunate then that a case like Roswell, for example, becomes a linchpin of UFO reality, even though there are people within the UFO field, very serious people like yourself, who feels that it didn't happen the way it's presented?
It's the state of the evidence available for the Roswell incident. The Roswell incident should be way on the sidelines of the UFO discussion. That there are all kinds of cases that are far more puzzling, far more evidential, far more to the point than Roswell. Roswell is just a distraction.
It's almost like the JFK assassination. It's become a paranormal event in history.
Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of truth to that.
Takes on a life of its own. Before we continue with our lives, Jerry Clark, very briefly, what are your plans for the next few years to kind of bring out more information about UFOs, maybe help figure out what's going on?
Well, I'm going to continue my work and my thinking and my research on experience anomalies. I'm deeply involved in historical anomalies research, early 20th century, 19th century, mostly. And I'll be writing at least one more book on that. I'm working on the third edition of my book, Unexplained. I may be doing a book on the history of the ufology subculture for an academic press. I've got a number of things out there. I'm going to keep at it until I can't keep at it anymore.
Do you think, looking at all of it, do you think that maybe the fact that you couldn't get to the bottom of the UFO mystery, that maybe you wasted some of your life? What do you think?
Oh, no. I mean, there were times, yes, when I sort of thought like that. But it's been a while. If you can't tolerate ambiguity, you've got to stay out of this field.
Yeah, right.
If you can live with uncertainty, and constant intellectual challenge without certainty of resolution. You know, just go collect stamps or something.
Hey, that sounds like fun. I should give it up now.
Nothing wrong with collecting stamps, but, I mean, you know, I think it takes a certain kind of mentality to be durable here over the long run. That's what I'm trying to say.
Leather skin.
Tell us about your current book once again.
Hidden Realms, Lost Civilizations and Beings from Other Worlds. And it's a very interesting looking book. It has plenty of color illustrations, including old science fiction magazines, which I always love, and a lot of great stories and interesting questions about the relationship of imagination to experience. It's a book that's being reviewed very well, so I'm satisfied with it.
Mm. And do you have a website or something where we can check out the things that you do?
No, I don't. I'm just kind of allergic to things like that. So, but I'm all over the internet. Anybody wants to read about me, I'm on Wikipedia and other places. So
they know where to find you.
Yeah, they know where to find me.
Just as we found you, and we're happy to have found you again. Chris O'Brien, tell our listeners more about the things you're working on and where they can find information.
Well, I'm looking forward this weekend to getting the second of seven cameras up on cell towers and mountaintops in the San Luis Valley for a 24/7 monitoring program that we're putting together. And I also do have a website, OurStrangePlanet.com. It is a strange planet, and it's our strange planet. And you can find out about all my books and other things that I do. And I want to thank Jerry Clark really profusely for being on the show and being open. And it's always a pleasure to hear your informed point of view, and your critical thinking is quite refreshing, I think, in this field filled with questionable thinking. So thank you.
Well,
so
I want
much
to thank you guys for some very good questions. It was a pleasure talking to you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.